I call this meeting of Sylvania City Council for February 22nd, 2022 to order. Will the clerk please call the roll?
Mr. Frye?
Here.
Mr. Hanson?
Here.
Mr. Hanam?
Here.
Mr. McCann?
Here.
Mr. Richardson?
Here.
Ms. Stowe?
Here.
Mrs. Westfall?
Here.
All seven members of City Council are present, therefore a quorum does exist. February 22nd, 2022 is a once-in-a-lifetime date. It is a palindrome. In fact, the whole week is full of dates that are palindromes, which means they read the same forward and backwards. It's so if you ever have this again in your life. All right. We welcome Mrs. Capellini and her son back. Mr. Hanson, please lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Additions to the agenda. It's not an addition, but information item D. Mr. Sanford would like to make a brief presentation about that potential bird scooter program. So we'll let Mr. Sanford speak on that informational item just for a few moments. Mr. Frye?
Nothing, Mr. Mayor.
Mr. Sanford, or members of council, any additional items from you? Thank you. Mr. Sanford?
Nothing, Mr. Mayor.
Mr. Schroyer?
Nothing, Mr. Mayor.
Captain Miller?
Nothing, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you for being with us tonight. Mr. Aller?
Nothing, Mr. Mayor.
And Mrs. Briney?
Nothing, Mr. Mayor.
So it was just a small change to the agenda, but is there a motion to approve the agenda as amended?
So moved.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries, and the agenda is approved for this evening. Agenda item four is approval of the meeting minutes from February the 7th. While you were in the chair, Mr. Frye.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I'd like to, well, actually, I don't know. Is this appropriate for?
It is.
Okay.
No one had a better view of it than you did.
I understand, but Mrs. Westfall was technically president.
I did watch you all live on YouTube. That was an interesting experience to see that. At some time, you ought to watch it yourself. You have to watch it on tape. But it was interesting to see how well you could hear. And you can see fairly well. So, well done, Chuck. Thank you.
Mr. Mayor, I just noted that the legislature just extended the ability to have to participate.
They did. I think
virtual
the
meetings.
June?
Yeah, at least through June. And if somebody's going to be out of town and wants to participate in the meeting, that would be a way for them to continue to participate. But not that I have anything planned. I'm just noting it in case it happens to somebody, to any of us.
Very good. Thank you. Mr. Frye, approval of the meeting minutes.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I'd like to move approval of the meeting minutes for the council meeting of February 7th, 2022, as submitted.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded to approve the meeting minutes of February 7th, 2022, as submitted. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries, and those meeting minutes are approved. Agenda item 5 is special resolution 6-2022, commending and thanking Katie Capellini for her service on council. Mr. Frye.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. If I could, before I read the resolution, I just wanted to extend my thanks to Katie personally for the help and the perspective that she brought to me over the years as a member of council, particularly when I was first on council. So I certainly appreciate that and wanted to put this resolution in front of council for consideration. So with that being said, I'd like to introduce resolution number 6-2022, and I will read by title only. Commending and thanking Katie Capellini for her contributions during her 14 years of service to the Sylvania community as a member of Sylvania City Council, I move adoption of resolution number 6-2022 as an emergency measure.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded that resolution number 6-2022 be presented as read by title only and presented as an emergency measure. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries, and Resolution 6-2022 is enacted as an emergency measure.
And Mr. Mayor, if I may, I'd like to pass one round of resolutions so that all members of the council can sign that.
Right away.
Mr. Mayor, if I could make a comment while that's being passed around.
Certainly.
I'd just like to echo Mr. Frye's remarks of appreciation to Mrs. Capellini for her service here on council. You certainly brought a lot to the table during your time here, and I'm certain that you'll continue to be involved in our community. Your efforts in the downtown area and in the parks and recreation area were definitely noted and made a huge difference, so we appreciate all that you did.
The good thing, Katie, is you don't have, the good thing is you don't have to stay for the rest of the agenda.
All right, let's return to the agenda. We are up to agenda item six. It's the first of five items on here that, once again, we'll have Mr. Aller at the podium. I think it's a function of the time of the year, with the days getting longer, the temperatures getting warmer, construction season approaching. We need to get these things out to bid or under contract, and that's why he's making so many appearances. With that, the first one, agenda item six, is Eldon Ditch Watershed Improvements Phase One. Mr. Aller.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. This ordinance that we have in front of you is for the engineering work that will be done on that project for the storm detention area. The project is estimated at $233,427. We were successful with one of our 2021 OPWC applications, and this project will receive $91,000 in grant funds towards that project. We also have, because of the additional benefits that it provides to Sage Yard and their ball fields and parking area, they've agreed to contribute $49,500 toward the project. So we have a little more than half of the project have partners in it, so to speak, for the funding of that. So we already moved forward with the engineering. Fishbeck Engineers provided a proposal in the amount of $27,840 to complete the engineering on this phase. The funds were included in our 2022 budget out of our storm sewer and ditch maintenance funds, our 503 account. And we would recommend approval of the proposal from Fishbeck in the amount of $27,840. I do plan to, that is a full study. There are three or four other projects recommended as part of that study, and so we will be bringing that information to you at a later meeting to provide what is recommended as a part of that full study. So.
Mr. Aller, a part of the full study for the Eldon Ditch mitigation?
Yes.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Yes.
Mr. Aller, I have a question as well. This is phase one of a four-phase project, it sounds
yeah,
like.
Yeah, I believe I've obviously read the study, and I don't, it's one of four or one of five. I forget if we broke that. We're going back and forth on whether to combine two of the sections, and I don't remember if we ended up with four phases or five.
Okay.
But that's what I'll bring to you, lay out kind of the whole study for council on what we have. What we'll be looking at for future years.
Well, and it may be too early to know this, but will Sagard be asked to provide more funding for the future phases?
Future phases will not likely involve Sagard. No.
Okay.
We will continue to go after OPWC funds. Those are always an unknown. This project was the last project funded this year, so it was right at the bottom. But
the lowest rated project to receive funding.
Yes.
Thank you.
Good job, Kevin.
It is good grantsmanship. That's exactly right. This project, this ordinance 14-2022 was tabled at the last meeting. The correct proposal was reattached to it. So first I need a motion to take it off the table for reconsideration.
So moved.
Second. Moved and seconded to take ordinance 14-2022 off the table for reconsideration. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Mr. McCann, ordinance 14-2022.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I'd like to introduce by title only ordinance number 14-2022, accepting the proposal of Fishbeck to provide professional engineering services for the Eldon Ditch watershed improvements Phase One project, appropriating funds therefore in the amount of $27,840. I move passage of ordinance number 14-2022 as an emergency measure.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded for passage of ordinance 14-2022 as an emergency measure. All in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries, and ordinance 14-2022 is enacted as an emergency measure. Moving on to agenda item 7. This is phase 2 of the large diameter sanitary sewer lining project. I'm sure many of you saw the construction work on Sylvania Avenue and McCord Road last year. And I suspect none of you are seeing the finished project since then.
I hope not.
This is our largest capital improvement project this summer. It will be visible only during construction. It goes out of sight after that, but these are old concrete pipes that are deteriorating from the sewer chemicals and the sewer gas. And we are out front getting this taken care of, mostly with a lot of OPWC funds to do it. Other communities are beginning to pick this up and doing it, including Lucas County themselves. Mr. Aller.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Yes, we received bids on January 14th of this year. We received six bids for the project. The lowest bid was submitted by Granite Inliner out of Hilliard, Ohio, with a bid of $1,097,358.30. That bid was approximately a little over 21% under the engineer's estimate, and the bids were very close. We had three bids within 4% of each other for this project. So that's a pretty tight window for half of the bidders to be that tight, so. Grant Inliner's been in business for several years. They haven't done any work for the city, but have been familiar with them for almost my entire career. They've been around for a long time, so. We do have Ohio Public Works Commission grant funds, as the mayor mentioned. That'll cover 44.6% of the project, which in this case is $489,421.80. The remaining cost of $607,936.50 is the city's responsibility. And if you recall, at the last meeting, council approved the Ohio Water Development Authority loan to cover that amount over a 20-year period. Therefore, it's our recommendation to move forward with Grant Inliner in the amount of $1,097,358.30. And this project was included in the budget as part of our sewer account for the 702 account.
And to clarify, Mr. Aller, the cost of this project was included in your sewer rate increase?
That's correct.
I believe it was 35 cents?
That's correct.
Per 1,000 gallons this, yep. Earlier this year?
Yep. Approximately 10 cents of that 35 cents, approximately 10% of that is for the debt payments that will result from the loan.
And again, this is totally a sanitary sewer fund project. This is not the normal city capital improvement funds at all.
No.
All right. Any questions for Mr. Allen? Hearing none. Mr. Hansen, we have ordinance 21-2022.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. All right, I'd like to introduce by title only, ordinance number 21-2022. Accepting the bid of Granite Inliner LLC and awarding the contract for the large diameter sanitary sewer lining project, phase two, to same. Authorizing the expenditure for the improvements in the amount of $1,097,358.30, appropriating funds therefore. I move for passage of ordinance number 21-2022 as an emergency measure.
Second.
Has been moved and seconded for passage of ordinance 21-2022 as an emergency measure. All in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries and ordinance 21-2022 is enacted as an emergency measure. Thank you. What's your schedule, anticipated schedule for completing this?
We'll reach out to the contract. It has to be completed by November 30th. That's the required substantial completion date. Two reasons, OPWC required schedule, and also I'd like to have the OWGA wrapped up by the end of the year. So.
And where is the majority of this lining going?
Majority of this lining is, there's a short section on Sylvania Avenue. That will be a very short-term disruption. And then the remainder is on, we head north on Eaglehurst to the dead end. There's a source section that goes over east, basically to 475, and then we run along the west side of I-475. It's all in private easement and ODOT right away in those areas. But this project won't have nearly the disruption, and you won't see much of it, really. So.
We won't be closing McCormick Road and Central Avenue intersection this year.
No, I hopefully that's the only time I have to do that in my career. So.
All right, very good. Let's move on to agenda item 8. This is the Monroe Main Street Reconstruction Project. This is south of 10 Mile Creek. Mr. Allen.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Yes, this is... basically goes from 10 Mile Creek to just south of Ravine Drive. It'll be a full width reconstruction and will also include a road diet. The pavement through that area is quite wide. We don't plan on reducing the width or anything. The curbs will stay as is. But as a part of this project, we'll install bike lanes in that section of Main Street. That will be the starting point of getting us further to the south. with the anticipation of being able to get us to at least Convent Boulevard and perhaps ultimately to Brook Road. So the traveling lanes will be reduced with bike lanes on both sides of the road. Other improvements include storm sewer upgrades. That will also be done through the curative place methods that we're using in the first two phases of the larger diameter project, as well as a traffic signal replacement at St. Joe's. The construction for the project is actually scheduled for 2024. The first part that we're asking for permission to advertise tonight is for us to advertise for to request letters of interest from consulting firms. The total estimated cost of the project at this point is $884,005. We do have surface transportation block grant funding already in place in the amount of $400,000, and when the right application cycle comes up, we will be applying for OPWC funds, and this project will stand it will be a strong contender for those funds. So I would anticipate that we would have $100,000 to no more than $150,000 of city dollars into this project. We'll probably go after the rest of that with OPWC funding. So we do ask permission to advertise four letters of interest from the engineering consultants. Because of the ODOT funding, it's just the standard process if you're involved with an ODOT project. So we're asking for permission to advertise.
Questions for Mr. Adler?
Mr. Mayor?
Ms. Stott.
As I was thinking about this, I recall that on Sundays, oftentimes those who are going to attend St. Joe's, a service at St. Joe's, they will park along the street on both sides of the street because it is so wide. If you haven't already, it might be worth reaching out to them to let them know that we'll be installing these bike lanes, and so the parking may not be as easy an option. That way we can take care of any questions ahead of time and maybe help show them the positives of adding bike lanes and maybe parking in the lot instead of on the street for the time, or making sure they still have enough parking with that.
Good point. We will make contact.
Okay.
Thank you. Mr. Richardson, we need a motion to authorize requesting consultant letters of interest.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Mayor. I would make a motion to authorize administration to begin the LOI solicitation process for the Main Street reconstruction project.
Second. Moved and seconded. All in favor, indicate by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries, and it is authorized by this council to begin that request for letters of interest. Moving on to agenda item 9. This is a memorandum of understanding with the Sylvania School District to provide electric power to our data collection units sitting on several of the school buildings. Those have been in place for 10 to 15 years, and they have been battery operated with solar collectors for some time, but why don't you tell us why you're making a change?
Several times throughout those years, and especially in the last 3 years, even though we changed the batteries out of those units probably about 4 years ago. Yeah, it was 4 years ago. But unfortunately, the last 3 years, during the winter months, non-summer months, we've had a lot of gray skies, and the batteries just are not able to, the solar panels just are not able to keep the batteries charged. When that occurs, we don't receive, depending on what data collection unit doesn't have power to it at that point, we don't receive the water meter readings from that area, and water and sewer bills need to be estimated for any homes that don't get recorded. So we estimate for that month. We take care of things, hopefully, get some more sun so that the battery will charge. We have had instances where we've had to estimate for 2 months in a row, which that third month can really be a pretty big surprise to the homeowner, depending on how that estimating process goes. So because of that, what we're taking a look at doing is changing those units out to electrical power, both the ones that are on the schools as well as the other ones that, we have on poles throughout the city. And in taking a look at the power needs, it's less than $5 per site that these units will actually use. In talking with the schools, rather than putting in a separate meter electrical service and all of that, we just talked to them about basically connecting to some existing power that they might have on the roofs of the, schools and utilizing that. When they saw what the power demand was, they had no issue with that. And they've approved this agreement. They approved it at their school board meeting on the 7th. And so we would just ask for approval of the memorandum of understanding for our PCUs to utilize school power.
A remote water meter reading program that was put in place 10 or 15 years ago under Service Director Jeff Ballmer has been a great success. We've saved hundreds of thousands of dollars in manually going around and reading those meters. We've also saved many of our residents that are out of town and had a water leak spring into their basements or crawl spaces. We were able to detect those as well. City of Toledo has finally embarked on a similar program. This has been a great success, and we'll talk about it again later in the agenda. There's another item coming up later. So with that, I recommend approval of Ordinance 22-2022. Mr. McCann.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I'd like to introduce by title only Ordinance number 22-2022, authorizing the Mayor and Director of Finance to enter into an agreement with the Sylvania City School District relative to data collection units for the city's utility meter reading. Move passage of Ordinance number 22-2022 as an emergency measure.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded to passage of Ordinance number 22-2022 as an emergency measure. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries, and Ordinance 22-2022 is enacted as an emergency measure.
Mr. Mayor.
Mr. Fry.
I'm sure that this will be done, but just in case, quick thank you to the shout out to the public schools for allowing us to interconnect with their system. And it's an insignificant amount of money, but it's still a benefit to the community overall for them to allow us to connect to their facilities. So
they've been very cooperative through the process and had the appropriate questions, but once we got an answer, then we moved on.
Mr. Mayor, I have a question as well.
Mrs. Westfall. Mr. Ehlers, it seems to me, maybe this looks familiar, I don't know. It seems to me that you said all of the units would be replaced. So this, of course, only addresses the four schools, so this is not only with the school system, but it indicated, I think it was seven units there in the city.
That's correct.
Will all of them will be replaced with electrical units?
Yes.
One of them sits on top of City Hall, and a couple of them are pole-mounted. Is that correct?
Yeah, we have three that are pole-mounted. One of those we're actually taking a look at relocating due to some reading issues. And four schools, three pole, and the main one on City Hall. Those are the, yes. It's from our calendar.
Right. It's right here in the, it's Highland, Sylvan, Arbor Hills, and McCord are where the units are. All right, let's turn to page 2 of our agenda. We're up to agenda item 10. This is the purchase of a new small dump truck for the sewer division. Mr. Allen.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Yes, the existing small dump truck that the sewer division has is a 2006 vintage. We have, it has served us well, but it is becoming, starting to show its age as well as be in our shop as much as it's on the street. So that's what we use as a guide. I do want to make sure the council knows, and being a 2006, I'm sure you understand, we don't use mileage factors, we don't use any of those kinds of guides that some other cities use. We use it until it starts causing us too many repairs. Then that's when we take a look at replacement. So we've lengthened the life of vehicles in for several years now. We've done it in the police division, and we've done it in the service division, and we do our best to make sure we get the money out of the vehicles that we purchase. One of the things you'll see, I'll actually be back to you in a couple weeks with several other vehicle purchases that were all within the budget. But we will be making adjustments to some of those vehicles. It's amazing what 2 or 3 weeks difference makes when you're obtaining quotes for this equipment. We've seen just in this price here with the vehicle itself is about $18,000 more than we were paying last year at this time for the same vehicle. When I come back to you in 2 weeks, that price is going to be even higher for the same vehicle. And it's the companies that used to be on the state term pricing are pulling the state term pricing. They're just closing the contracts. We cannot order this vehicle off of the state term. That contract's been closed. You can order from the 2023 state term pricing, but you won't know what that is until next January. So we decided not to do that. This one we got it in good time. We obtained the quote in good time. 2 weeks difference is amazing. It's going to be probably about $8,000 difference. It's just not only this, but the bed package that will be coming to you with you that we put on the trucks, those costs are climbing. We are making adjustments to what we had previously requested as part of the capital improvements plan. Again, we're going to make the vehicles last longer than we wanted to, but with the pricing that we're seeing out there, we can't consciously move forward. So we are asking to move forward with tonight's vehicle. Dave White Chevrolet has provided, and they've been working with us. They've been fantastic, and you'll see that as we come to you next week, too. They've been working with us, several phone calls on their part to obtain vehicles and things of that nature. So they've been a great partner through this. But we do ask for approval to move forward with the purchase of a 2022 Chevy Silverado 5500 cab and chassis from Dave White Chevrolet in the amount of $51,805.78. This truck was included in the 2022 operating budget out of the sewer fund, the section 2 fund. And we ask permission to move forward.
Thank you for that explanation. You know, it's a shame that the state term contracts are not working, but the benefit of it is we can work with Dave White rather than some out of town dealer that's under state term.
Yep.
So I approve of that and appreciate it. Mr. Hansen, we have proposed ordinance 23-2022 to approve this purchase.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I would like to introduce by title only ordinance number 23-2022, authorizing the mayor and director of finance to accept the proposal of Dave White Chevrolet for the provision of a new 2022 Chevrolet Silverado 5500 cab and chassis for the Division of Sewer, Department of Public Service, appropriating $51,805.78 therefore, I move for passage of ordinance number 23-2022 as an emergency measure.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded for passage of ordinance 23-2022 as an emergency measure. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries, and ordinance number 23-2022 is enacted as an emergency measure.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Aller. Move on to agenda item 11. This is to amend and restate our operating agreement with the senior center. This originates back to when the new senior center was built 20 years ago. And we had provisions in that for the repayment of the loan, plus we would be responsible for maintenance of the facility and the operating agreements for it. Mrs. Brining has worked with the senior center to renegotiate and restate this agreement. Mrs. Brining.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. As the mayor indicated, we worked with both the Sylvania Senior Center, who Gary Summer is a member of the board, and Mr. Hanum, I believe you're a city council representative on the board, so, and the, I'm sure you know, the board also approved the agreement on Friday. The president did email me and let me know that, and the township has already approved it as well. So just the way our meeting schedules fell, they were first last week. So we are the last to consider it. But there, the changes to the agreement after 20 years were mostly made just to reflect the actual practice and how things operate. The reporting is done annually for activities and programs, but they do send monthly financial reports over, so if anybody has any questions on that. The parking, that was originally, I think there was some concern that that would be a bigger issue than what it has turned out to be, which is always good. Insurance and responsibility, that section was changed just to really in recognition that there are three taxpayer-funded organizations and groups that are represented in this agreement, so it really doesn't, we should just all take care of our own if there's an issue. And the other major issue that I wanted to just mention to you that was amended was the termination provision in the event that the levy for some reason isn't passed or approved. The senior Sylvania, we're not going to hold them responsible for still maintaining operating the programming that they do. So those were the primary changes, and everything seems to be really working well. I know Claire Proctor recently retired, so but everything seems to be going well, so I would recommend his approval.
Any questions? Senior Center was built under the city's leadership to replace the old senior center in the basement of the now demolished Burnham Building. It was built with a lot of state of Ohio capital improvement funds. It was also built with a help from the Lucas County senior levy, and the remainder of it was bonded by the city with an agreement that's the city could reach directly into the township tax receipts to pay their part of the bond repayment if they changed hands and chose not to pay their share. That was negotiated by Mr. Plock. It's worked very well over the years. Toby, I don't know if you know what the status of those bonds are, but they ought to be about done, I would think.
This year, I believe it's the last year.
No, so that's an agreement that's worked out well over the years. We do have ordinance 24-2022 to approve this new operating agreement. Ms. Style.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I'd like to introduce ordinance number 24-2022 and read by title only, authorizing the mayor and director of finance to enter into an amended and restated operating agreement on behalf of the city of Sylvania, Ohio, with Sylvania Township and Sylvania Community Services Center, Incorporated, for Sylvania Community Services Center's maintenance and operation of the senior center. I move final passage, or I move just passage, I'm still adding that final. I move for passage of ordinance number 24-2022 as an emergency measure.
Second.
It's Been moved and seconded for passage of ordinance 24-2022 as an emergency measure. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries, and ordinance 24-2022 is enacted as an emergency measure. Agenda item 12 is our new requirement from the state auditing process for then and now certificates. Mr. Schreier, why don't you?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. The list has been provided. It's pretty straightforward. If there's any questions or comments from anybody, I can address those, but it's something we'll do probably every other month. This is probably the third time that we've come to you, so.
It is the city's intention to try to avoid most of these in the future other than emergency responses. The biggest one on this is for the remote meter reading situation. It's on here as Pulse MTUs for the utility department. Those are the actual transmitting units that go on the individual water meters in people's basements and garages. Those are also between 10 and 15 years old. The batteries are built in, and those are being replaced as they fail around the city. I know it was replaced in my home maybe 6 months ago, and you may have gotten the calls in your homes. This is the other end of that remote water meter reading system, which has been a great success, a great money saver for the city of Sylvania. Are there any questions about any of the other items on there? Hearing none, Mr. Fry, we need a motion to approve these then and now certifications.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I'll make a motion to approve the then and now certifications for the period of December 21st, 2021 through February 4th, 2022.
Second. Moved and seconded to approve these then and now certificates dated February 22nd, 2022. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries, and the list of then and now certifications is approved. Agenda item 13, are there any committee reports to be made at this time? Or agenda item 14, committee referrals. Mrs. Westphal.
I just have a question, Mr. Mayor. If I could ask, I'd like to address it to Mr. Aller. In the newspaper this past weekend, they mentioned the bridges that need to be replaced, and Silica and Monroe came up, and I know that that's on the docket. And that we've got a timeline on it, but could you just refresh my memory on when that will be happening in case it comes up with questions?
Yeah, that project's slated for next year, 2023. Okay.
Yep. We've combined that project with the improvements at Monroe and Silica. It'll be taking place at the same time. The bridge is not unsafe, but it dates back to the 1920s. It served well, but it's time for replacement. It was not in the worst category, which was unsafe.
Mr. Mayor, would it be appropriate at this time to ask about the 911 service?
Absolutely. We've all been reading about it in the press. We've also had direct contact with Lucas County 911, but perhaps Captain Miller or Mr. Aller. Mr. Aller is our representative on the ARCOG committee, can report on this, and then I'll tell you what we're going to do 2 weeks from tonight.
I did receive an email. The 911 ARCOG did conduct an internal investigation, and that investigation did confirm that it was an operator error in sending the crews to the wrong location. As you probably rather seen, they were sent to Erie and Monroe intersection in the city of Toledo rather than Erie and Monroe intersection in the city of Sylvania. There are practices in place to prevent that from occurring. The individual that was involved will be going through discipline process as well as retraining. They're also reinforcing the proper methods with the rest of their staff in the dispatch center. They actually conducted a tour today with local media and local police officers. Our chief, Schnorr, was down there as part of that tour, so that everybody could actually see what should have occurred and what you know, what the error was. But it was operator error. You know, it's an unfortunate incident. It could have been much more unfortunate. But I do have confidence that they will take care of it and resolve it and the work to make sure that it doesn't happen again. So.
Channel 13, 6 o'clock news, reported on that tour today, and they showed the actual screen and the choices that come up on the screen where the mistake was made, and what should have happened that didn't happen. They actually show the intersection, and the person that called, several callers, said in Sylvania, but they did not back up and do it. Now, you've all seen the picture of the burning car on the news, I would assume, and because it took over 7 minutes for our fire crews to arrive, and I've discussed it with Chief Ram here last Thursday morning, we talked about that problem as well. There were two brothers, one of which lives near that intersection, who called it in several times, as did some other bystanders. His brother actually went out when nobody came and they saw the first indications of flames coming out of that car and helped get the woman out of the car, and thank heavens he did, or we would have had severe injury or death as a result of the fire that came up. It's the city administration's intent to recommend Mr. May for a Safety Council of Northwest Ohio citizen recognition. There's a recognition put on by that council every year. But we're also inviting him to our council meeting, our next council meeting that comes up on Monday, May the 7th, where we're going to give him a city merit award as well. He probably saved a life. And the news reporting would have been much different if he had not gone out and taken the initiative to pull that person out of the car. Once the Sylvania Township Fire Department was alerted to it, they were there in less than 2 minutes. But they got the call 5 minutes late.
Mr. Aller?
Yes.
Obviously, this particular situation and unfortunate circumstance made the news. Do you have a sense of how frequently this has occurred beyond the one situation we've been discussing here?
I don't have the information on how often it's occurred in the ARCOG as a whole. We had a similar instance, not this exact same thing, but we had a similar instance probably about a month prior to this. We addressed that with the units downtown, that was a different situation. It wasn't a selection issue. That was a process issue. That's been resolved. They changed their methods and it was an outlying community issue. It was something that had always been done that way in the city of Toledo. That's not the way the suburbs had operated. So that was a communication issue between the communities involved. So from our standpoint, I believe that's the only one. On the ARCOG as a whole, I can't answer that. I can find out, but I just don't know the answer.
More focused on Sylvania.
Yeah.
In the Sylvania area. So. Mm-hmm. That's
fine. Mr. Aller, are you confident in the plan they have for staffing and understanding that they are challenged in that?
That's definitely a concern. I think it's an issue that they didn't anticipate. Right now they're down probably a little over 20 bodies, they're getting ready to hire 20 more. The issue that they're having is they hire 20, they lose $15. So they're kind of, they're chasing bodies all of the time. I think they may have overestimated. I think they thought that more of the existing dispatchers in the communities, like R6, Sylvania Townships, 12, and things like, I think they anticipated more of those people transferring into the dispatch center downtown than what actually did. And so right now, you know, and as everybody knows, it's in the job market now. Is it, I mean, you're just, everybody's chasing bodies. And so I think that's an issue. They have people working, you know, a lot of overtime is going on right now down there. So that is their priority number one, is to get that staffing level where it really needs to be.
Mr. Mayor, I wonder if you are aware whether the passenger that was pulled out is fine, just with no injuries. Do you know?
I am not aware of any injuries. Captain, do you know the answer?
Had some minor injuries, scratches and abrasions on her legs. And she was taken to the hospital for, I think it was more or less observation, make sure everything was okay.
Thank you.
You probably noticed the changes that have been made to the entrance to this building. The sliding, automatic sliding doors have been replaced with hinge doors for more security. There's a bench set in there. There's a phone, so that if somebody comes to this police station after our occupied hours, they can go in there, and a police officer will come as quickly as they can to assist anybody that's in that vestibule. It's to secure the building and secure them from anybody that might be chasing them.
Will that door lock behind them then when they come?
I believe
it does. It doesn't at this point, but it is being, it, yes, it will.
That is the intent.
We're still working on it. Excuse me?
How would they get through that door?
The outer door is unlocked, the inner door is locked.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay, that makes sense.
Yeah, the indoor, and what we're working on is that if they are in a danger situation, that if, when they push that call button, that they can push a button and lock that exterior.
Nothing else, we can put a thumb screw deadbolt on it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Which it has that.
So it does work?
Yes.
I thought it did.
Yep.
I'll look on the way out.
Mm-hmm.
That is the intent.
It does have that. We're trying to see if we can make it a little more automatic.
Okay. And then the call is placed through the dispatch center downtown Toledo, or?
When they push that button, it automatically dials into a 911. So instead of it going to a non-emergency number, which we couldn't be sure if the person coming in was going to be a non-emergency situation or an emergency situation, we defaulted to the emergency situation, because that would get a quicker response.
Okay, Mayor.
Thank you.
Certainly. There's a meeting of the ARCOG coming up next month. The board, which we're a member of, only approved a 6-month operating agreement to provide more oversight and more input rather than letting it go a year. So there'll be lots of discussion next month. All right. If there's no further business, I draw your attention to a couple of things in the information items. First is the report from the police department and Chief Snore about the funds in the different police funds that are available for different expenses. And item D is a memo from Mr. Sanford, who'd just like to say a few sentences about this particular scooter program.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. This Mr. Michael Cavado has contacted me about this Bird, that's an electric scooter program. You may have seen them in other cities. I know I have, they're out and around different places. He was interested in bringing it to Sylvania. He had a Zoom meeting that Kevin and I were able to see. We thought it was interesting. We didn't want to make a decision for the city, and I wanted to share it with council and see if there's any interest in pursuing it. The difference being that projects like this usually come from our own citizens, and this one did not. But I do think it's worth you looking into and to see if there's some interest. Another place where I experienced it was at a town and gown meeting a couple years ago. That's where, because of Lawrence University and universities in Ohio, they have this annual meeting. And that was a big topic, that a lot of the communities that had the scooters, they were having problems with them. And Leslie found this article in the Rural paper that talks about their experience with the scooter program and some problems they had with it. So again, it's Owen, and who has, and I'm not sure if it's Bird, but the University of Toledo has this. If you've been to a game, you've seen them, you know, kids using them going around from the campus. The one thing I think when Kevin and I saw it was, you know, with Lourdes and getting from Lourdes to downtown or Lourdes to Kroger or wherever, there could be some interest in doing that. But again, I think a first step just to see what you thought about it. If you're interested, first see if there's any questions, or if we can set up another meeting where you can see this demonstration that they're very good at showing that, and you could, with, like, via Zoom, and you can ask that question.
If there's interest, Mr. Fry can refer it to a council committee for further investigation.
Be appropriate.
Thoughts from council members in regards to interest?
I think it's worth looking into.
Yeah, I'm generally supportive of mixed transportation options, so let's see what could mean in Sylvania and decide when we have more information.
We can put it on the agenda at our next council meeting if you want to refer it to a committee, or you can jump right in tonight and refer it to a committee.
I think Mr. Friday would be appropriate to refer it to Buildings and Grounds potentially. I don't know what other committee would be appropriate.
The only other one I was debating between Buildings and Grounds and Streets, since the actual devices are going to be used. Well, are they going to be used on the streets? I guess they are, right?
Yeah. They are.
Because you're not going to have a lot to have them on the sidewalks.
So those two committee members, chairman, spoke up.
Those are the things we'll find out and answer all those questions. And I think it has to be on streets, and a mile per hour has to be 35 or less.
But we talked about, Mr. Aller had a presentation about bike lanes, and the question is, are they allowed to use the bike lanes or not? So there's a lot of moving parts to that. So yep. My thought process is to refer the streets.
I'd be happy to take it if that's the if the council agrees.
That's fine.
Are you on streets?
No, I'm Buildings and Grounds.
I know. No,
oh, am I on it? No, I don't think so. No.
I don't remember.
You can certainly attend the meeting.
Right, yeah. Absolutely.
Yes.
Do you have a handy? I don't think I have. No, because I'm zoning.
Yeah. So
yes, you are.
So logically, if we're going to make this referral, I would make a motion then, or somebody would make a motion to refer this. I'll make a motion to refer the potential scooter program that was just discussed to the streets committee.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded to refer information item D, potential for a Bird scooter program, to the streets committee for further research and perhaps a recommendation.
So we don't, do you anticipate us scheduling a streets committee after the next council meeting? Should we schedule one between now and then?
You can build whatever you want.
Or should we wait to hear their availability on whoever introduced or proposed this?
I think he'd be available anytime. So I mean, we could start checking his availability right away. I don't think there's...
All right, let's do that. Let's not set a meeting tonight, but maybe can you reach out tomorrow, pick a few times in the next couple of weeks, and then I'll reach out to the committee and rest of council and see when it works for everybody.
I can do that.
Good. Thank you.
All right. Did we vote on that referral? No. I didn't think we did. All in favor of referring it to the streets committee, indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. that really does bring us to the end of the agenda. If there's, and the information items, if there's nothing further, is there a motion to adjourn?
So moved.
Second.
So moved and seconded to adjourn. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries, and this council stands adjourned for the next 13 days until Monday, March 7th, 2022 at 7:30 p.m. Thank you all for attending.